Hi, I'm the American Prince Charles III, and we all want to know this question that just lingers in most of our minds. Is there life after death? Stay tuned, we're going to talk about it. In a world where all right seems wrong, and wrong seems right, where am I? Why does today feel like it's the past? Is it my past life memories? Where am I? Oh, I know. Right where I just started from. But haven't I done this before?
Deja vu.
And I'm the American Prince Charles III. I want to welcome you to the show today. You know, there are a lot of people out there that are constantly asking the question, are we alone? Is there life after death? Or is there a world to come? Or is there even reincarnation? So let's talk about these things, because I actually have inside information on a little bit of this from a friend. I could call him, I suppose. He's simply named as the informant. So I have the informant here with us today. Are you there, sir?
I am.
All right. So there may be a little lag in our communication here, so just bear with us today. And I would like to first say thank you for joining me on the show here at the castle in the Deja Vu recording studio here. So you have information concerning life after death.
Absolutely. And what people need to know is that life after death, and some people refer to hereafter, you know, it's real.
All right. So this sort of thing is real. All right. So now what I would like to know is, first, let's just go back. Now, you have a lot of information on a lot of different topics, and I'm impressed over that, because of, I suppose, what you were telling me is your position in the government and what you've done over the last, let's say, 30 plus years in the government. And you had you've been privy to a lot of a different sort of information that a lot of us have not. So I want to first just put that out there for a lot of people. All right. So now the next question I have is, how do you know there's life after death?
Well, there's a lot of ways of people can really find that simple question to themselves or for themselves. You know, man, I could tell you about things that I've seen and I've done, and it ain't no joke. You know, let's just start with, I will just start with an accident that happened to me personally.
Okay, so something happened to you personally. Was it in America? Because I know you are a world traveler. You know, you do these things and you go places. So Where did it happen, first of all?
It happened over there in England.
Okay, in England. Can you kind of give me a location in England?
No.
Okay, well, that was... that was... that was direct. Okay. So, it happened in England, and what happened to you?
Well, I was driving... my dad's truck, and I was on the farm, and I was young. I was about 12 years old, and my dad always wanted me to go out and try to be more part of the family. You know, I was the type of guy, kid, you know, who just learned to ride the bicycles and just not do too much around the house. Now, my older brother, he did everything, you know. He would go out there and get the chickens and the eggs. He would do all those things. But for me, I wouldn't do that. I was the type of kid that get on a bicycle, and I like to go down the road and get the other kids. You know, we were like the Goonies.
Oh, I love that movie, The Goonies. You know, I tell you, The Goonies was one of my favorite movies here. And I always have said that The Goonies is something of a movie every child should watch. I think it's really kind of unique the way they staged that movie. You know, so, okay, so go ahead.
Well, I was on my bike, and I, you know, I was riding down the street, you know, fast as I could, and I went a little too fast, and I hit some dirt that was in the street, and when I slid, I fell really hard, and I hit my head on a tree stump that was right on the side of the road. And when I hit my head, I blacked out for a minute.
Wow. So now when you fell and you hit your head, you blacked out for a minute. What really, are you sure it was for a minute, or, you know, what was the time? Did you have any other way of knowing how long you were actually out?
No, I just know when I opened my eyes, I wasn't where I needed to be, you know. I was not on this earth.
Okay. Okay, so now, wait, you're on your bike, and you are riding down this road, and you're going to go get your friends, you know, to ride with you, and you hit some dirt, and the dirt made you slip and fall on the street, and you hit your head, and... You hit your head on a tree stump that was just on the side of the road.
A stump on the side of the road, yeah.
And okay, so now when you were passed out, you felt it was only you were out for a minute, is what you're saying to me.
Yes, I was out for a minute to me. But for what it's worth, let me just tell you. When I left my body, I was able to see the bicycle. I was able to see the tree stump where I hit my head. I was able to see all that, man. And it was freaky.
All right. So now, okay, so now you're telling me here you had an out-of-body experience. Is that what I'm saying? I have that quite a bit, especially when I get my electric bill, you know. No, I'm serious. I have an out-of-body experience every time my electric bill comes. I said, there's no way I've spent this much energy. Come on, people. Come on, people. You know who I'm talking about out there. You guys can relate. You get those energy bills, especially during Christmas time. You're like, what the... Santa Claus, just bring me something to pay off my energy bill. Anyway, so let me say, so you had an out-of-body experience, and you were lifting away from your earthly body.
Absolutely. And I had not been religious at all in my life. You know, I was young. I knew church existed. I had friends who went to church, you know, and sometimes they would ask me to go, but, you know, man, I went into all that stuff, man. I just wanted to ride my bicycle. I had enough to do with my grandpa and my brother. He got on my nerves every day, you know. So I had to do what I had to do, you know what I'm saying? And my grandma, she was just up in there cooking all the time.
What you say?
And you know, she didn't really care about much, but making sure the food was on the table. My mom and my dad, they had dessert, me and my brother, we were a little bit of babies, you know, so my grandparents raised us. But I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't religious like that. Now, my grandpa and my grandma, they would talk to us about doing the right things, and but it wasn't much trouble to get into on a farm, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I got you. So when you're on a farm, the only trouble you really can get into probably stepping in some horse or animal poop, you know. So I get it. So, you know, but I have to tell you, when you left your body, what did you see?
Well, I was able to see everything that was going on around me. I was able to sense everything from all directions, north, south, east, and west. I could feel it, I could see it, but there was no end in sight. And I know it may sound crazy and all, man, but I'm just telling you what I went through. And this was something that kind of helped shape me become the informant I am today. I ended up going to the military and working with all these secrets and top secret agencies. This is what helped me to understand that I can help others by being an informant and shedding light on things that need to be shed on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I got you. So this experience, if you will, helped make you become who you are today. It helped turn your life around. It helped make you decide at a very early age that you wanted to go and do something to help others. So let me ask you the most daring question I think I'm going to ask you probably in this whole interview. Is there a God?
Well, I tell you this. I saw when I was having that feeling of going, of being able to feel and see in any direction, I actually wanted to know myself if there was a God. So I looked as far as I could see, and I saw what looked to be, to me, a throne and something on it. Now, I couldn't make out the figure. I couldn't see a face. I just know what I know, that there was a God there. There was God there sitting on the throne.
Okay, so What color was all this?
White.
You know, okay, so the throne was white?
Everything was white. It was a whiteness that would not hurt or blind your eyes. It was purer than the sun. It was brighter than any light you can imagine on this earth that you can look into. You know, the weirdest thing about it, man, is when you look into a light here on earth, right? It's bright, and it hurts your pupils. Your eyes begin to kind of draw up, and the pain and looking and staring into the bright light. Eventually,
I got you. You what you're saying? The light, when you're looking into a light, it begins to hurt because it's so bright. Your muscles and all those things, and your eyeballs. You know, I understand what you're saying here. So this light you're looking into is really bright, and it's like a pure energy, I suppose, what you're saying. It's nothing that is going to make you want to squinch. Is that correct?
That's absolutely right. And I looked in it, and I could see this throne. I could see things on the side of him, and I could also see animals all around him.
Okay, so animals, like, Did you see my dog? You know, I was wondering if you saw my I'm not trying to be funny or anything, but I had a dog, Jean-Luc. He was a German Shepherd, and I miss Jean-Luc every day, and I was just wondering, you know.
No, I didn't see Jean-Luc or anything like that, you know, but I did see was like a lion and other animals, and these animals were not animals of the earth we know.
Okay, so what are you saying? You see animals, but not on the earth where you know. I mean, what kind of animals did you see? Yeah.
Well, I saw animals with eyes all around them, and their eyes looked in every direction, but mainly fixated on the entity on the throne.
Hmm. Okay, so you're saying the animals that you saw had eyes all around their heads, and their eyes were fixated on whoever was sitting on the throne. All right, so this is interesting. I'm kind of like, this is interesting, you know? I really want to hear more about that. So tell me about these eyes. I mean, why do you think these animals have all these eyes?
I don't know. I just know what I saw. I cannot figure it out. I was told that it is in the Bible.
Okay, so I'm going to have to go and see if I can research that. Okay, so you saw the animals. And you saw this entity you feel you feel was God.
No, I know was God. You don't have to ask me. I feel anything. I know. I know what I know. What I know.
Okay, so you know this was God, and so tell me what. What did he? Did you ask him anything? Did you say anything to him? What was there a conversation? Now all this is happening at the time you're saying it's like a minute or so. You feel that you've been passed out after this bike fall, correct?
Yes.
All right. So I want to know. Can you tell me more?
Well, when I approached him, I didn't walk. My body wasn't like the body we have today. It wasn't flesh as we know it. It was more of a purse state. The body was, it was clear. I could look through my hands. I didn't see any, you know, bones or guts or muscles or any of that sort of stuff. You know what I'm saying, homie? But I did see, I had a feeling of her energy. I had become, my body was there. I can look down from where I was and I can see my body. Now, I can't explain that to you, and I don't expect you to understand what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying, homie? But I just can only tell you what I was feeling.
Okay. All right. So, this is really news to me. I mean, because I've heard, I've talked to other people who've had sort of experiences, and I would like to, each one is a little different than the other. So what you're saying, you actually saw, you actually felt a presence, and you know that it was God. You don't have to have anyone to tell you what it was. It was God. And there were other, presences around him, or I don't know, was there any other being there or anything like that?
There was someone else or something else, but I cannot see any faces. Now, remind you, I cannot see faces. I can see the ability to, I saw no shadows. I had the ability to know what was around me. You know, it wasn't a foggy, misty dream. This was a vivid, colorful dream. You know, I was able to see colors like I've never seen before in these human eyes. You know what I'm saying, homie? My eyes I had then were more spiritual, I guess.
Okay, so you're saying you're... Oh, wow, your ability to sense vision, your vision to see has been basically clear. It's been perfected. It's been enhanced, if you will. It's been clarified.
Absolutely. Not enhanced, not clarified. It is pure. Everything was pure. Pure colors. You know, Earth, we see things, but we have a lot of junk between what we see and what's actually there. Junk like pollution and all these things, man. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, America, Prince Charles?
Yeah, I got you. I understand it. You know, I'm just trying to deal. I'm trying to understand more of it because everyone has their own different views and takes on it. So let's say, what, if you will, why do you think you came back on Earth? I mean, what was the whole purpose of you being able to see that?
Well, I had always told God that if he existed, prove it. Show me something. Even when I was a young kid, because I had a good friend of mine to die when I was young, and I just wanted to know if it really was real. If all this was real, prove it to me. And I think he must have proven it to me. You know, that's the only thing I could think of. I say that. That's what he did. He proved it to me.
Okay, so I think we have to be careful when we challenge God. You know, we say, show us something. You know, and we have to be careful because he just may do that. he may show it to us and we may not want to see what it is he's going to show, you know. So
that's right. And when I challenged him, he actually showed it to me, and that was amazing for me, you know. So I was able to talk and communicate without even talking and communicating with my mouth the way we do it here on this earth. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so you were able to talk to, who you talked to God or the other entity?
I talked to God.
Okay, so did you ask him anything, or did you say something, you know, like, hey, God, I mean, I don't know, did you ask him anything profound, like, hey, God, why are we here?
You know, I did. I asked him, you know, I said, hey, I have a question for you. And he responded with, okay, go ahead and ask. And I asked him, why am I here on earth? What's the meaning of life, basically? I asked him, what is the meaning of life?
Okay, so you asked him, why are you on this earth and what's the basic meaning of life? You know, is that correct?
Yes, I asked him, it was almost like a two-fold question.
Okay, and what was his answer?
He just sort of, if you believe me or not, he sort of laughed at me.
Wait, you say God laughed at you? I mean, that's going
to... Well, no, I'm serious. It was a laughter, and he said that's a very simple answer to that question that everybody asks.
Okay. So, he said... Hold on. So he was saying that was a very simple question to that. And I'm going to drink some water right here because this is really interesting for me. You asked God a question. And the question was, well, let me ask you this. What was his answer?
He said, I will know the answer when I get back.
When you get back where?
Well, it wasn't my time to die. I had to get back onto earth. That was the whole purpose. He just wanted me to know that he heard me. And he wanted me to know that I wasn't alone. I've never been alone. I still get choked up sometimes when I talk about it, man. I've never been alone, even when I didn't have my parents with me. And when my parents wasn't with me, when my brother, we all went through hard times, he was there. Even though they weren't there, he was there. I've never been alone.
Okay. Well, that's deep. So, what did you feel? Could you feel anything when you were there talking to him? Could you feel anything like any sort of, emotional, like you were just getting choked up there talking to me? Could you feel anything emotional there?
I just felt peace. I didn't have any anger. I didn't have any emotional instability, if you will. I just wanted to be in his presence. And when I was there, I was at peace. I didn't think about what was back on earth. I didn't think about what was happening to my friends and my family members. I didn't think about any of that. Because of something I left out, you know, when I fell and I was on the ground, I felt the cold ground, but I instantly felt myself just kind of, it's almost like a suction. I sucked straight up into the air and I could look down over everything that had just happened. And I had an aerial view of everything and I felt nothing. I felt nothing at all.
So this you could feel yourself going up, or you could see yourself going up because you're looking down at your body. And then this is the outer experience, the outer body experience, they call it, where you feel like your physical body is there on earth, but your spiritual body is moving upward or downward for some people. You know, we hope, you know, Please don't pull me down, but let me go up eventually. I ain't trying to go to hell. So I was, I don't know if I had a question to ask God.
Well, I was going to ask you that, American Prince. If you had a question to ask God, because people that I've told this to, I haven't told this to a lot of people at all, just a few, they always tell me, well, I want to ask this, or I want to ask that. So I'm going to ask you, what would you want to ask God if you had the opportunity? What would you would have asked God?
Wow, and that's deep. I think I would like to know what is the meaning of life. I mean, because, you know, we are here on this earth and people are suffering. You have people that are judging others. You have people that are killing others. You have for needless reasons. You have people that are stealing from others and talking bad about others instead of helping each other and lifting each other up and supporting each other. I think I will just ask, well, why are we here? What's the whole purpose of this petri dish experiment? You know, that's what I look at as. I look at it as a petri dish. You know, we're just stuck here on Earth and we're trying to find a way to, I don't know, pick at each other. I mean, I don't understand why we're here. I would like to know why am I on this earth? You know, what is my purpose? What can I do to help someone else? What do I need to do to make my life better? But not only my life, how can I help others to make their lives better? Because I'm the type of person, I like service. I like helping others. And what can I do to help you get to the next person and make a connection, you know? So I guess that is a hard question. I think I will ask him. I don't know. I think I'll ask him, what is my purpose here on this earth?
Well, that's what I asked him. And he told me I'd find out when I got back.
So when you got back, did you find out?
Yes, I did. But before I got back, let me tell you. The body would die. You know, I tell people, don't fear death. You fear the living. Don't fear death. Don't feel sorry for the dead. Feel sorry for the living. People are, everybody that gets a little money, they get greedy. They don't want to share. They don't want to help each other. They don't want to help others with their newfound power or success. They don't want to help others. They want to just keep it all for themselves. And I can't figure out why, because you can't take it with you. When you die physically, when your physical body dies, it's dead. You know, when God comes back, you know, that's when the Bible tells us, I do know that the Bible tells us that even the ocean and the seas will have to give back its dead, and death itself will have to give back the dead to God for them to be judged. You know, so I don't know why people are adamant on causing others hurt and pain, and all for their own self-glorification. You know what I'm saying, man? I just feel that in order for us to exist in heaven, we put here on earth to exist together first and to see how we interact with each other. That is the biggest test. And when I looked at him and I asked him, why was I here on earth? Remember, I asked him, well, why was I here on earth and what's the meaning of life?
Yeah, I remember that part. You asked him, why were you here on earth and what's the meaning of life? So what was the other answer to that part?
He just simply told me, it's a test. It's a test of my fortitude to see where I fall in, whether I fall into the pits or where I fall into heaven. And I was like, fall into the pits.
I tell you why, I'm listening, I'm laughing, like, fall into the pits? You talking about falling into hell? Okay, so you want to make sure that you do good to fall into the right line, the line for heaven or the line, you know, you don't want to fall into the line for hell. So he's actually telling you, you have to do what you need to do to make the best of it. This test for you on earth is for us all. this test is for us all to make it to heaven. So I always have said, may the work I've done speak for me. I don't need anyone to say, Charles, that's a great job, or Charles, you did better, Charles, do better here, Charles, you did horrible there. I don't need people to judge me. I don't care about what people think, to be honest with you, because I always joke on this show, the only opinion that really matters is mine. I don't care about your opinion, you know, so you can give it to me. I don't, whatever, you know, Charles is going to do what Charles wants to do. That's just it. That's me. And all my friends that know me, my family members, they know me, they know that, oh, that's him. I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care about what you think. You know, if it's negative, if it's positive, okay. If you have positive, constructive criticism, I listen. But if you have something that's trying to tear me down, you can do what you want to do. I don't pay you attention. You just go to the dungeon, be down there with the dragon. You know, I don't care about you. You know, and that's what I look at.
Well, that's the way God wants us to look at things. Those people who are full of rage, hate, envy, jealousy, deceit, they're not going to make it into heaven. And it's harder to understand, but he gives us an example. He tells us it's going to be harder, it's going to be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than that of a rich man to get into heaven. And that's deep if you think about that. And it tells us that. So a lot of people, they enjoy, you know, doing other harm to others. They think it's funny. They think it's laughable, or it's entertainment, and it's a good way to fit in with others who are doing the same thing to someone else or to other people or to a group of people. You know, life itself is full of trickery and ups and downs. But the most interesting part of it all is that God is in control. We barely have control of our cars when we're driving them. You know what I'm saying, homie?
Yeah, I get you, because, you know, I was trying to park the other day, and this lady, yeah, get off this, watch where you're driving. I said, well, why don't you stay off the sidewalk? You know, gosh, I'm trying to park my car. You know, get off the sidewalk, lady. Anyway, no, but I get you. I definitely understand what you're saying. Cars are, you know, I was watching a show the other day, and this RV, this recreational vehicle, this real big bus RV thing, motorhome, some people call them, was going down the highway, and it hit an object in the road, and it blew out its tire. And when it did that, it caused the RV to flip. It just lost, the driver lost control of it. He had no control of this thing at all. And the only thing he said, he was just saying a prayer, and he went off into the middle of the highway embankment, and then he rolled it a little bit. But luckily, everybody walked away with just minor injuries, scratches, and so forth. And I can definitely relate when you say we barely have control of our cars. What in the world makes those things? Make us think we have control of our own lives? I mean, I know I don't have control of my life in the way as to, let me put it this way. I have control over what I would like to treat or I would like to do to others. I don't have control over my life as far as what's going to happen to me by others. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And that's exactly what has been, you know, said and passed to me. I wasn't talking. He wasn't talking with mouths. We were telecommunicating, basically. He was giving me all this information as to what life should be. And I was sitting there wondering, how in the world are we even talking? Because my mouth ain't moving. My mouth wasn't moving. And I'm like, this is amazing. I can hear his thoughts. And he could hear my thoughts. And it was truly amazing. And I said, if this is happening right here, and I haven't even gone beyond the gates where he's sitting, what else is really happening, you know? Because can you imagine the power that we have as angels or as new residents in heaven? I will say it that way because We have unique abilities, abilities that just aren't limited to us with our physical bodies, but with our new heavenly bodies, we are unlimited. We can do things we never thought possible. You know what I'm saying, man?
Wow, that is deep. That is really deep. So you're saying that in some views, the continued existence often takes place in the spiritual realm. The what we will have are bodies that are new, that are not easily hurt or, you know, riddled with pain and suffering, and limited with the gravitational force of the earth itself. We don't have to worry about those sort of things because we are anew. We are new in a spiritual form. We are new in an awakening of a spiritual realm, in a spiritual realm of heaven. I think that's amazing. So when you got back to earth, let's do the return right quick. When you got back to earth, can you tell me what was that like?
I didn't want to come back. As I was looking at all this before me, him on the throne, this other entity beside him, it had sort of a figure of a man, but it wasn't a man. And I don't know if it wasn't a, I've never seen angel in the shape that I saw that was standing right next to him, but it could have been an angel or something. But the animals, all the animals had eyes all around them, and all their eyes were fixated upon him. They didn't look at me. They didn't even, they knew I was there, but they didn't look at me. They just was in awe at the Creator, at God himself. And I was told it wasn't my time, and I had to come back. And I was like, man, I don't want to leave this place. This place is better than ice cream, you know? And I just wanted to stay there. I didn't feel sorrow for my family I was leaving behind. You know, a lot of people feel that when a loved one dies, they're in sorrow that they're leaving someone behind. I didn't feel that. I felt that I was glad to be there in the presence of God. And I didn't even want to look at his face directly. I always looked down because it was too much to even look at him. I was too humble to look at him.
Wow. You know, because a lot of people be like, let me see, is he wearing glasses? You know, what? Does he have shades on? It's so bright up there. You know, I'm making light of it. But I think it's amazing because, you know, in a serious situation, this is a serious thing that happened. And I have to say that life itself is full of twists and turns. And sometimes we find ourselves in a comfort zone, in a comfort position. Maybe we're comfortable with the amount of money we have in the banks. Maybe we're comfortable with the car we have or the house we have. Our friends, our family members, maybe we're comfortable where we are, our jobs. But sometimes you have to get out your comfort level in order to move even farther up the chain. You know, a lot of people don't understand that. Sometimes you have to get uncomfortable in order to do even better than where you are today. A lot of people don't understand you have to take risks. You know, you have to take risks in order to reap the rewards. You know, risk reaps rewards, the three R's. And a lot of people are afraid of taking that risk because they're comfortable where they are. Now, will you fall? Sometimes when you leave that comfort zone, yeah, you may fall because that's why you call it that comfort zone. I'm right here. I'm comfortable. I ain't moving. You're not about to tell me I'm making it through this tunnel and I see the light at the end and that's daylight, that's freedom, and I get there and it's a train hitting me, you know. No, so I understand the fear. I understand the fear of taking a risk, but you have to take risks in order to reap the rewards. And I really believe taking risk and helping others, that's what I feel, you know, that is most important. So when you were told you had to come back, how did you take that? How did you accept that? Not like you could argue with him, because it's God said, dude, you have to go. How did you take that?
Well, I didn't want to go. I just wanted to stay there forever in eternity with my God. And he told me something that always stuck with me. He said that I am making him proud because I was doing what I could do to help my grandparents and my brother. I love my brother, although we fight like brothers. I care about my brother, and I loved him. And I liked my friends, even sometimes when they picked at me, I will still forgive them. And he told me I had a heart of gold. And I was kind of taken back by that because I didn't know how to accept that, you know. And he told me that's what I have to work on in my life, is accepting other people to help me and to give me advice and to give me compliments simply and to accept them for what they are. I was always the type, if someone said something nice to me, I would say, okay, well, what they want, you know? what do you want? Why are you being nice to me? But because I didn't have my parents to instill that in me, I've always missed something. My brother and I, we missed our mother and our father. Although my grandparents were there, we still didn't have that main connection with our mother and our father. So that was a disconnect a little bit, but I understand that, I understand what God meant, what he was saying to me, and what I needed to do, and I understood what I needed to do.
Wow, that's really deep. So when you got back home, when he told you it wasn't time, what then?
He said, I had a choice. He said, it's not my time, and if I wanted to stay, he'll grant me that wish. I could stay, but I would definitely leave sorrow back on earth, and a deep sorrow. And it'll be a sorrow, not so much of my grandparents, but of my brother. He wasn't quite ready to let go. Even though he was older than me, he still relied on me a lot for what his path in life was going to take him. And when he said, you know, you could have talked to me like that when I was back on earth and before I met God, I would have understood that. I would say, whatever. You know, but when he said it to me like that, I understood. It was as if I could see in the future. I couldn't see if he would have children or what type of job he had, but I saw he was successful, and I saw I meant a lot to him in being a part of that success.
Wow. Okay.
And so I was able to accept the fact I needed to return home. And so I told him, okay, I understood. And as soon as I said that, it was as if I went down on an elevator. It was an elevator ride, real smooth and quick and fast. I was like, man, if I could only have this type of elevator at my job, I didn't have to walk those stairs. And I got back to my body when I was younger, and that's when I felt the pain from the road rash and my knee hitting the ground hard and my head hitting the tree stump. I felt the pain and I cried a little bit. But as I opened my eyes, I saw the ambulances. I saw the police cars. I also saw the fire trucks. And the fire truck, the police dog was licking on my face. And that actually woke me up, believe it or not. And I was rubbing the police dog's head. And it was really funny, but they were saying they were trying to get me to come back. And they pronounced me dead right there. And I looked over and I saw my grandparents. They were running toward me, hugging me, you know. And my brother standing, he was sitting on the side of me in Indian style on the ground crying. And when I came back, he ran over there and hugged me. And that's the first time I'd ever seen my brother hug me crying with love. And it was emotional for me because I didn't know my brother loved me like that. And everything God had told me in heaven, it was coming to pass on earth. I saw the love my brother had for me. And he wouldn't let me go. He wouldn't let me walk into the, he wouldn't even let me ride in the ambulance. He had to ride in the ambulance with me. Because, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Take your time. I understand.
He loved me so much, and I never knew it. And now I know. And we grew up and we started playing with each other. We had good times. We had a closer brotherhood, a closer connection, thanks to the death of me. But when I came back, it was a renewed life, not only physically, but emotionally, for my family, and for my spiritual life. And the simple answer to that question.
Oh, yes. The simple answer that everybody wants to know. What is the meaning of life?
You say it is simple. The simple meaning to life is to love each other. That's the simple meaning of life. We have to love each other. No matter who we are, no matter our differences, no matter our ethnicities, no matter our religion, we have to love each other. And that was the simple meaning to life. And that's why God laughed when I asked him, and he replied, everybody asked me that question, and the answer is so simple. We have to love each other.
Wow. What an amazing story. Wow. And for me, I didn't know you had it in you, man. I didn't know you could go that deep, and I didn't know you could share such a private part of your life. And I am honored to have you on the show, a part of this show. And I know there are a lot of other topics we're going to talk about that are sensitive, and we disguise your voice because we want you to remain anonymous. And I appreciate you opening up the way you have. And I hope that all of you guys out there who have heard the show today, you got something from this show today, because, you know, it does seem like it's a little bit of deja vu. You know, all this that happens to us.
Deja vu.
Yeah, it does feel like it's deja vu. Maybe something happened to us, and didn't that just happen? You know, I can't even explain it myself.
You know, when I was on my bicycle and I was riding that bike, I got a new bike. I didn't want that one that I fell on, and my grandpa said, "No, you're not going to get on that bike. We need your new bike." So I arrived that bike down the curb a few years later. And it was deja vu all over again. Just deja vu.
Deja vu.
It was. And I went around the curve a lot slower.
I bet you did. Don't go around that curve real fast anymore. Watch out for the sand and dirt in the street, right? But I appreciate you taking the time out to join us here today on Deja Vu. Informant, and I'm so glad you're still with us and sharing your experiences to help others perhaps that need to hear this story and can use what they've heard to better their lives. And I think it's an awesome opportunity to do that. I want to thank you guys for listening to Deja Vu today. I'm the American Prince Charles III. Make sure that you like, comment, share, subscribe, tell your friends about Deja Vu. And if you have any ideas of a show perhaps I need to do, or you would like to know about a topic, make sure you drop that comment in the section below, and I'll look at it and I'll do what I can to make it happen for you. And I definitely, I can also just send an information out to some people that can perhaps help me gather the information we need to, like the informant here. So with that being said, take care of yourselves. Have a great work week. I'm the American Prince Charles III. Thank you for listening to Deja Vu.
Somebody tell me, this life that I'm living is real.